ॐ विष्णुपाद ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की
नमः
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य शास्त्रोत्तर सरस्वती श्रीमान शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन अ फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंति कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सिखो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री द्वारका धाम की जय। गंगामयी की जय। यमुना मयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaudama. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Udramscha Shishyamscha Nripo Gururva Maloka Kamo Badanugrahartha Itham Vimanyor Anushishyadatajkyan Nayo jayet karma sukarma mudhan Kamyo jayan manu charatam labheta Nipayatannasta drisham higatre Ramscha Shishyamscha Nripo Gururva Maloka Kamo Madanugrahartha Itam Vimanyor Anushishyadatajkyan Nayo jayet karma sukarma mudhan Kamyo jayan manu jordham labheta Nipayatan nasta drisham higarthe Okay. Udam stracchasya shyamschandrapo gururva Maloka kamo maranu krahartha Itam vimanyor anushishya ratajgyan Nayo jayet karma sukarma mudhan Kamyo jayan manuchor tam labeta Nipatayan nasta drisham hikarte Putra, the sons,
Cha,
and
Shishan,
the disciples,
Cha,
and
Nirva,
the king,
Guru,
the spiritual master,
Va.
Or Matloka Kama, desiring to go to my abode. Mat Anugraha Artha, thinking that to achieve my mercy is the aim of life. Itam. In this manner, Vimanyu, free from anger, Anushishyat, should instruct Atatgyan, bereft of spiritual knowledge, not. Yojayet should engage karmasu in fruitive activity. Karma mudhan simply engaged in pious or impious activities. Come, what? Yojayan, engaging Manucha, a man, Artham, benefit, Labheta, can achieve, Nipayatan, Nipatayan. Causing to fall, Nastadrisham, one who is already bereft of his transcendental sight. He, indeed, Garte, in the hall. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son, or citizen who is bereft of spiritual vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. Port by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:26, Nabuddhi bhedam janaye ajnanam karma sanginam josayet sarvakaramani nidvan yukta samacharan. Let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruitive action. They should be encouraged not to refrain from work, but to work in a spirit of devotion. Om Agyan Vimirandhasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmi Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Madhamayam Dadati Swabhatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadkamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sakala Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Dalita Sri Vishakan Vinamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinavandhu Jagadpate Govishta Vika Kanta Raru Kanta Namostate Saptakamshana Gaurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Krishabhanu Svade Devi Anumavi Hari Priye Vansha Kalmadhu Vyascha Krivasindhu Vyayivacha Patitana Unhavanivyo Vaishnavivyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Asya Jyoti Shatarine If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son, or citizen who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. Chapter 5, entitled Lord Rishabhdev's Teachings. Text 15.
What is saying you're going to use? Right.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you.
I am very honored, grateful, and happy to be with you today. Hare Krishna. In this historic and very, very important project of Gita Nagari, we were discussing among the greatest devotees within our world, Gita Nagari was so dear to the heart. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary, for many years, the sole GBC of all of India, brought Radha Damodar here. It traveled all around America. Along with Vishnu Jana Swami Maharaj, they established a whole new realm of knowledge preaching and outreach preaching through festivals. When Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj joined, it created a revolution of historically the most devotees being made and the most books being distributed of any project in the world at that time. Radha Damodar was traveling around in a simple bus when the idea of traveling with them, because it's quite unique, Radha Krishna deities,
to be traveling. Most temples in the early days worshipped Gaura-Nitai. The temples I first went to when I came to the West, they only had paintings. Painting of Panchatattva. That was it. Painting of Panchatattva and then the Parampara. And some temples, they improved their standards so much that Gaura-Nitai were installed. And some Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. But Radha Krishna, very, very high standard. Tremendous responsibility. So Srila Prabhupada had great expectations. And here was Radha and Krishna traveling around in the same bus as a whole group of brahmacharis. It's not like they had their own bus. They shared it with the brahmacharis. And the roads in America, you know, sometimes they're not so smooth. Srila Prabhupada said you can tie them around their waist to hold them stable. And that's where Srila Prabhupada gave them the name Radha Damodar, because Damodar is Krishna who is bound with rope around his waist. But it was the goal that eventually there would be a wonderful temple and a wonderful permanent place for them to preside. They came to Gita Nagari, Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And in this mood that Srila Prabhupada put great emphasis on, the mood of Vrindavan, where there are cows, protected cows that are happy. And so many recordings and also purports of Srila Prabhupada, he describes even in the early days where there were just a couple of farm communities in the world, how because devotees gave such love and respect to the cows on behalf of Krishna, who's Gopal, the cows were happy. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said the barometer of human culture is how happy the cows are. And Vrindavan is a place eternally of agriculture, plowing the fields with the oxen, growing grains, vegetables, fruits, nuts, the cows. Out of happiness and gratitude, when they're protected, they give their milk. Actually, proclaimed by our acharyas to be a liquid form of motherly love. If cows are exploited, then that milk is not a liquid form of motherly love so much, because their consciousness is filled with fear and security, and they feel exploited. But if cows are protected, they happily give their milk in motherly love, both to their calves as well as to the devotees who are taking care of them. It is this ideal that we strive for, because this is the mood of Vrindavan. Krishna would personally take the cows to the pastures with Balaram and his friends. Krishna played his flute, special songs for each cow. There were over 900,000 cows. In Krishna's heart, he was playing for each cow personally. And each cow felt Krishna was playing this song just for it. Mm-hmm. And she would reciprocate. Much nicer than that. And that would inspire Krishna to make a song even more sweet. And here is Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, the source of the most supreme majestic king of Vaikuntha, Narayan, the source of Karano Dakshayi Vishnu, Mahavishnu, who creates the entire cosmic manifestation with all of its universes simply by his exhalation. He produces nature like mother, and then as father, through a single glance, he impregnates every living entity within the cosmic manifestation. And with that glance, he activates the three modes of material nature in the form of time. And he enters each universe and becomes the lord of that universe. We are very proud, some of us at least, of technology. By Krishna's grace, some of us can't figure out technology, so we don't have much to be proud about. But so much developments have come about. But even the greatest scientists, they cannot fathom the details of what the universe is. We have, we're still exploring the same oceans of our little planet that have been here since the beginning of the planet. But to speak of outer space, and there are limitless universes. The Lord manifested all the universes. He enters into each universe. And then as Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu and as Kiro Dakshayi Vishnu, he enters every atom. And as the Paramatma, he enters the heart of every living being, of all species of life. He enters. And 24 hours a day, he's the witness. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's constantly our best, well-wishing, loving friend. Does not interfere with our independence, but is simply waiting for us to turn to him. When the Lord advents through various religions, he sometimes strikes fear in the hearts of humanity. Like sometimes a parent becomes very strict with a child to rectify their misbehavior for the child's own benefit. The absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the source of all strength, the source of all intelligence, the strength and possessor of all opulences in full, forever. When he takes the cows out every day, when he was younger, he took the calves out. He would search, along with Balaram, the original guru, they would search for pastures that had the most delicious grass for the cows. And that is why Srimati Radharani and her gopis, they prayed that Govardhan Hill was the best devotee, Haridas Bharya, because Govardhan Hill gives the sweetest grass to the cows. And the grass is very nutritious, very delicious. It's very soft. And it's very fragrant. So this was a culture, actually the highest spiritual culture in its pure form, that Srila Prabhupada wanted to inspire the world to pursue. And he gave this description: simple living, high thinking. And I actually remember, because when Vishnu Jana Maharaj was taking care of Radha Damodar and traveling all around America on a very regular basis, he would come to New Vrindavan, usually 2-3 times a year, and spend time. And he used to say that these farm communities are so important because we have temples in the cities, which are essential, and we have book distribution all around the world, which is very much essential. But how to actually live? In its real sense of close to nature and close to God, is meant to be demonstrated where people could come to our farm communities to see. And I'm going to make a little bridge to get to the verse today now. I'm sorry. But before that, what history here? What most people know about Srila Prabhupada is from the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita by His Holiness Satsarupa Goswami Maharaj. And the main portion of the Prabhupada Lilamrita was written here, beside that little river in Gita Nagari. In fact, his books were being published as Gita Nagari Press. And Lilamrita was Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Later, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Why did he want to come here? He was preaching all over the world. One of the most dynamic preachers in history. He historically established centers in Africa,
would travel in India. In the Soviet Union, he was distributing books, and later he would travel and preach in all various countries there. He went to Australia, he would go to the countries of South America, he'd go all over America. And so much varieties. Why did he make this his base? Because whatever he did was for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. He understood the importance. How Srila Prabhupada, when he was very ill and was told by his doctors not to travel, he decided to come to the West. He left Vrindavan. He was at Radharas Bihari Temple in Mumbai, and then Vrindavan. He stopped in London, and that was the historical moment where he embraced Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj with tears in his eyes and said, "Thank you very much. Your life is perfect. Because of the sacrifice of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, risking everything to please Srila Prabhupada by distributing his books in the most dangerous place on the planet at the time, where it was totally illegal. And there were powerful governments outlawing. Then he stopped in New York. During that last pastime of Srila Prabhupada's travels, what is the farthest west he came? Gita Nagari. I was living in New Vrindavan, and we were wondering. Of course, we didn't get much news because we were up in this mountain, and you know, every now and then we'd hear something about where Srila Prabhupada was. He went to Gita Nagari. For us to recognize this parampara of pleasing our predecessors, that is a significant reason, one of the significant reasons why Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj made that choice to spend his last months here. I forgot where the bridge was now. Srila Prabhupada, as our guru, through his example, through his teachings, through every aspect of his life, he was teaching us how to go back home, back to Godhead. Today's verse, Rishabhdev, is telling, actually now I know where the bridge is. When Srila Prabhupada developed the first farm community in ISKCON, in New Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada personally named it that. And we have devotees here today from Australia, New Govardhan. This very special pilgrimage that we're all experiencing. He gave many instructions, but I remember one time the leaders there asked Srila Prabhupada, how should we develop New Vrindavan? And Srila Prabhupada said, you chant Hare Krishna. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gave us many instructions about how to chant Hare Krishna. But that's the basis. Of course, so many responsibilities for the community, for the public. You want your holy places of pilgrimage, you want agriculture, cow protection. He just gave many instructions. But the foundational instruction, when he was really asked, he said, you chant Hare Krishna. What does it mean to chant Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada described like a baby crying for mother when it's done. The baby's in its most needed situation. We cry out for shelter, for mercy. And here Rishabhdev is describing, if one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, Rishabhdev, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, is instructing his sons. A spiritual master instructing his disciples. As Srila Prabhupada instructed us, as Srila Prabhupada's beloved representatives, several we have just discussed how they instructed us. Or a king instructing citizens. Rishabhdev himself is instructing his sons. He's also a king who's instructing the whole world through his sons, the citizens. And he's also the original guru, instructing all those who are aspiring. And just this one line can clarify so many of the clouds of confusion while we're living in this world. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, that's the first thing. We have to be serious. It's not just a club. It's not just a religious affiliation. We have to be serious about going back home, back to Godhead. Not just about, you know, fixing our heating system, or organizing things in such a way that they seem to work better. Those are our responsibilities that we cannot neglect. But everything really in Krishna consciousness, everything we do has to be built on a single foundation. Being serious about going back home, back to God. And what does that mean practically? It doesn't mean just dying and the soul goes back to Goloka.
It means that too.
Atapum beard we just rished us, Varna Shami Vibhaga Shashvanusht, just the Dharmas, your son, Siddhir Hari Dosh.
Whatever our
Varna, whatever our ashram, whatever our status or position is within family, within society, our success is singular. It's not just about the external results that we may be glorified for or blamed for, depending on the circumstances. Our success, Sansadhira Hari Toshana, is how we please Krishna.
What does it mean to be serious about going back home, back to Godhead?
It means to be serious about pleasing Krishna.
In whatever we do, in whatever we speak, Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna in a way
to please the Lord by our service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who comes with the love and the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani and is the most merciful, magnanimous, and compassionate of all avatars. When he's instructing Sanatana Goswami, the most elaborate instructions recorded that he ever gave in Varanasi. 2 months, every day, all day, he instructed Sanatana Goswami. Well, what was the foundation, the seed in which he built everything? He was discussing the nature of material existence to Sanatana Goswami, the nature of the soul, the nature of God in his various manifestations and avatars and aspects. He described Vaikuntha and the intimate rasas of Vrindavan, including Madhurya Ras, the love between Sri Radha and Krishna. But how did he begin his teachings with this foundation?
Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas.
Our eternal nature is we are servants of Krishna. The Atma, the soul, the true identity beyond birth and death, our nature is we are eternally servants of Krishna. This is such a profound statement.
If we just hear it and think, I've heard it before, let's go on to the next thing, then we're not really hearing it.
What does it mean to be a servant of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna? It dispels so many people on the spiritual path who are seeking out power, control, fame, or even seeking liberation from suffering, to become God, or to merge into the infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent existence of God, Brahman.
But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with this one line, the nature of the soul is we are eternally the servants of Krishna.
And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded on that when he prayed to Lord Jagannath before the Rath Yatra parade. Gopi Bhartura Kamayora Das 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 Anudas. Not only, what does it mean to be a servant of Krishna?
needs to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Anu, feeling oneself very small. The smaller we feel ourselves, the more we're empowered to recognize the greatness of God. The smaller we feel ourselves, the more we're able to recognize and appreciate the greatness of others. And when we recognize the greatness of others, then we're actually in the mood of a servant of a servant of a servant. Because we're not jealous or envious of others' greatness. We're not, in a material sense, competitive. Why not me? If they're fortunate, they will become like me. Srila Prabhupada described on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the consciousness of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, every other devotee is better than me. To actually like feeling like that. Actually, that feeling gives us the greatest happiness. Because then we really want to serve from our hearts, from our souls, with our words, with our actions. Radhanamna janamna sundarim kavitam bhaja kadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmani shuri bhavatad bhakti raho iti kitvai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying Shikshastakam. It's Lord Chaitanya's 8 prayers. And the instructions in his prayers. He's instructing the world, by the way, he's praying to Krishna. I do not want wealth, money, affluence. I do not want power or fame. I do not want the pleasures of the senses and the mind. I do not want to be a great scholar, poet. I don't want yogic powers. I do not even want liberation. I approach you in whatever birth you want to put me in. Let me be your servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired his associates in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat with this spirit. And everything was built on it. During the Mahaprakash Leela at Srivasangam, Lord Chaitanya did something that was so rare. He wanted to demonstrate in his life the way we should live, or at least aspire to live. Therefore, he always was in the mood of a devotee, giving honor to others. But on this occasion, he manifested his supreme opulence of the Supreme Personality of God, and was willing to accept the offerings of the devotees and to bestow benedictions. And he called each devotee one after another. And if we study this from Chaitanya Bhagavata, especially by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, we understand how Lord Chaitanya expected us to aspire as a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi.
Muraragupta is Hanuman. What benediction would you like?
He just wanted to be close to devotees so that he could always serve them and in their company chant the holy names. Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. Such an unimaginable position Lord Brahma has. But he comes as Haridas Thakur. Previous to the Mahaprakash, years before, Maya, with all of her potencies, came in the form of the most beautiful of all women. In the darkness of the night in a forest, to somehow or other subdue and distract Haridas Thakur. She exerted her greatest powers to attract him, to delude him. She's the deluding energy. All night. Every night for three nights, a total concentration on distracting Haridas Thakur. And what was the conclusion? She fell at the feet of Thakur Haridas and begged him for initiation to the chanting of the holy names. She accepted Haridas as her guru. She's the master of material existence. She accepts the simple sadhu living in the forest as her guru. And when Haridas Thakur was being beaten in these 22 marketplaces, he was already the guru of Maya, who's the controller of Mayadhyakshena Prakriti. So she's the controller of material existence under Krishna's energy. And yet he was simply tolerating getting beaten and blasphemed and dragged one place to another like a piece of garbage. The whole time he was praying, Krishna, please forgive them. Please give them your mercy. Lord Chaitanya didn't establish Haridas Thakur as the Nam Acharya simply because he chanted 300,000 names over 192 rounds every day. But the spirit of how he chanted, the spirit of how he lived, as we were speaking on Narasingha's appearance day 2 days back, Haridas Thakur lived quite a long life. The disappearance pastime in Puri, he was quite old. He was like the age of Lord Chaitanya's grandfather. Like Advaita Chaya. How many things Haridas Thakur did in his life. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu inspired the authors of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mangala, and all of these great histories. They focus on these little aspects of Haridas's life. And it's usually when he's in the most trouble. You know, they describe, you know, when he would just be sitting and chanting his ecstasies. But that's a small thing. It's usually when he's getting blasphemed, when he's getting beaten. He never complained. He just wanted to serve. So here's Mahaprakash. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Haridas, I'm so pleased with you. You've done everything for me. Lost any benediction. Haridas said, I don't want anything. Yeah. That's what Prahlad said to Narasingha Dev too. Lord Chaitanya insisted, ask. I will be pleased if you ask. Who sincerely, from your hearts, if God, in his most merciful, beautiful form, standing in front, revealing his ultimate opulence, how many would, from their hearts, sincerely be asking what Haridas asked for? Let me be an insect close to the house of your devotee, a dog, an insect, so that when they, after they eat their food and throw out whatever's left, I could go there and secretly eat it. After asking for that, Haridas became ashamed. How dare me ask for such an exalted benediction? I don't deserve that. This is the standard, how far we are. Our false egos are not really appreciating that. In order to really chant the holy names in a way that Krishna is pleased, we need to aspire to be more humble than a blade of grass. Just yesterday we saw the cows going out into the grass for the first time. Cows were celebrating. When does the grass go away here in Kitanagari? Which month? November. It's November, December, January, February, March. It's like 6 months. Cows like hay when there's no grass. If there's grass, they usually don't go to see in hay. It's kind of like, you know, rations when, you know, at times of need. So if you're really hungry, you do enjoy rations. So they're eating hay and some grains, you know, all kind of, you know, dried things, you know, for 6 months. And it's cold, and a lot of time inside. And then the day, that day, when they're let out into the pastures to freely eat luscious, fresh, green grass that they can just cut right from the ground. In the fresh air, and they could roam about. So we were walking around in the grass, and the cows were dancing and stepping on the grass, and the cows were eating the grass. Nobody was to be more humble than a blade of grass. That's Lord Chaitanya's meditation. More tolerant than a tree. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's Tatikshava Karuna Kasurata Sarvadehanam. This idea of Tatiksha or tolerance is mainly focused on the quality of forgiveness. Prahlad's forgiveness. Dhruva Maharaj. In his liberated state, his state of forgiveness.
Ambarish Maharaj's forgiveness.
In other words, being a well-wisher. Prahlad Maharaj, one of his primary teachings, and it's truly one of the primary teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's words, is to be a well-wisher for everyone. Here, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are a military person and you must, it is your duty, your responsibility to make sure there's justice, to protect the innocent. And justice to rectify or punish those who are violating other persons' innocence. He's ordering him to do that. Before, again, foundational. The Bhagavad Gita is like the foundation in which Arjuna is supposed to fight the war. Because Duryodhana was fighting the same war with the same types of weapons and the same types of military strategies and all of that, but they had different consciousness. Krishna is telling Arjuna and the world, we should be well-wishers to our friends and our enemies. Is that a contradiction? In other words, Arjuna, you must do the needful, but it shouldn't be with ego. It shouldn't be just with vengeance or anger. It should be as my representative of the friend of all living beings. See me in everyone's heart. And having that respect. That is Vaishnava. So, we've almost gotten through one third of the first line of this verse. And it's really a long verse. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, what does it mean to be serious about going back home, back to Godhead? Srila Prabhupada, he was reading Bhagavad Gita and the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. A particular verse where Krishna tells that one should be resolute in purpose, and their aim must be one. Yavashayatmaka Bhutir Egeha Guru Nandana. Rishabhdev is saying, we must be resolute in purpose, being serious. Our aim is to go back home then to Godhead to please Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, how many times he remembered this purport. This means to make the order of one's guru one's life and soul. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati. This is what it means to be serious about going back home, back to God. It means we put aside our own preferences. Not necessarily put aside our own preferences, but we harmonize our preferences with Guru and Krishna's preferences. considering our conditionings, considering the situations that are coming in this world, the tests, the challenges, how to do it, how to stay dry when you're in a field in the middle of a downpour of the monsoon rains. Kali Yuga is a massive downpour, a devastating rainfall of quarrel and hypocrisy and so many other vices and so many other egoistic weaknesses. How to be serious about, please, about being a servant of a servant of a servant in this age? Emotionally, physically, on every level. For so many reasons, be distracted. And it's really interesting because when Srila Prabhupada speaks about Kali Yuga, the 12th canto, I remember I was once in a class where Srila Prabhupada was reading. He had Prajumana Prabhu, his dear disciple, reading from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about what will happen in Kali Yuga, the symptoms of the age. And after each one, Srimad Prabhupada would give an explanation. But in general, when he spoke about Kali, put all these problems together, and it's the age of quarrel. Sometimes he said quarrel and hypocrisy, but other times he just said the age of quarrel. How many reasons we have? And sometimes they're really good reasons. But even that, even disagreements have to be built on a foundation. Otherwise, even the philosophy could distract us. If our pursuit of following the philosophy is not built on the foundation of what the philosophy is teaching us. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshanam. What is going to please Krishna? What is the higher principle that we must pursue in all of these ever-changing experiences of life? It's very difficult. In fact, it is impossible. Therefore, if one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Person. That's our only hope, his mercy. We'll be empowered by that mercy when we sincerely understand how desperately we need the mercy, and we chant the holy names crying out for that mercy. And we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or hear it to these classes, feeling this urgent need for mercy. The Srimad Bhagavatam was not spoken to Parikshit Maharaj when he was sitting on this throne as the king of the world. It was spoken to him just after he was cursed to die in 7 days. 7 days is a sense of urgency. Can you think back 7 days ago? It's not that long, is it? I believe today is Saturday. If you were in Parikshit Maharaja's predicament, that means you knew for sure you were going to die this coming Friday. That's how he was seeking mercy on the bank of the Ganges. And how did he seek mercy? By humbling himself before all the great Vaishnavas. Narada Muni was there, Vishwamitra Muni was there, Parvat Muni was there, Vyasadeva was there, so many. And they all agreed Sukadev Goswami should speak. Before the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam really develop, first we're taught how we're supposed to listen. Daivi Yeshu Kunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mama Ipami Pabadyande Mayame Tattarandi. Material nature, Maya, this illusory energy, is all powerful. It's Krishna's energy. There's no intelligence, there's no tapasya, austerities, there's no accomplishments that we could ever do that could have even the slightest effect of liberating us from Maya's powers. But if we take shelter of Krishna, we take shelter of the Lord, then Krishna's mercy, yayatam aprapadyante tamstadaiva bhajamyo. Krishna says, as you seek shelter of me, my mercy comes upon you. I reveal myself through my mercy as you surrender. Oh, Rishabhdev in Srila Prabhupada's translation is stating this truth. I'm sorry if I keep reading it again and again, but I really need to hear it again. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead the summum bonum and chief aim of life. It's not describing here that in this context, it's not that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the summum bonum and aim of life. It's describing the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the summum bonum and goal of life. Because we can only approach Krishna through the mercy of Krishna. And we receive the mercy in proportion to how we humble ourselves, we take shelter and we surrender to the Lord. And surrender means Maro birako bijo ichatoha nityadahasta pratitua adhika. Krishna, if you want, you could protect me. If you want, you could kill me. You're going to do it anyway. It's just a matter of time. Whenever you decide, whatever you want to do with me, Krishna, just begging, let me be your servant. I am your servant. Such a prayer. Thakur Bhakti Vinod. Seeking the mercy of the Lord, we receive mercy when we please the Lord. We please the Lord
when we serve the Lord as a servant of a servant. And the great souls teach us we're servant of the servant according to how we're actually a well-wisher trying to, in our interactions and relationships with all beings, that's the chief aim of our life. If he is a father instructing his sons, spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. And I'm going to end about halfway through this verse. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciples, sons, or citizens are sometimes unable to follow his order. And then describes how in whatever situation one is in, our goal of life is to help people to follow the path of bhakti or devotional service. When we say Srila Prabhupada is our founder, Acharya, the depth of the meaning or the spirit of that we should emulate within our own hearts, his example. When he came to New York City in 1965, he personified this principle. He could have become so angry at everybody. But he was always trying to serve everyone by trying to somehow or other engage them in devotional service. In the Jaladutta Diaries, there's description of in Prabhupada's diary that when he was living in New York City, in the upper part of Manhattan, sometimes in the Bowery, then the Lower East Side, before he had any followers, before he had any center, he was just going anywhere anybody would accept him. And somebody gave him a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And he taped himself chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And he recited his explanation of the Maha Mantra. And he writes in his diary, he went to one place, I think there were like 3 or 4 people that came to that event. And he played the tape for them. And Srila Prabhupada writes, they liked it. They liked it. This is the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that the holy names will be spread in every town and village will be fulfilled. Now, for us, you know, who are we compared to Srila Prabhupada? He's Acharya. And if 2 or 3 people, you know, none of those people became devotees. there's no evidence that any of those persons started following the regulative principles or even started regularly chanting, but they liked the tape. And Srila Prabhupada was celebrating. This means Mahaprabhu's prediction will be fulfilled.
How he was trying to give people Krishna.
If you're willing to take a drop, here it is. And how grateful he was if we took that drop. But if you really want to become serious about going back to Godhead, here it is. Four regulative principles, chanting at least 16 rounds every day, reading my books, and living by these books with character of Vaishnavas.
And it's really special because in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada, when he, the way he taught us to follow and the character we have is in giving Krishna to others.
Vrata Leela Devi was quoting when she first met Saladini Devi, and she heard, in giving we receive. Everybody knows that saying. But when we apply that principle to Krishna consciousness, then we enter into the parampara of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
You began your adult life as a young adult with the experience of a paradigm of simplicity, visiting the closet temple of Gautama, which you wrote about in your book, in the pages of the book. And so I was hoping you could, I mean, it's there in your book, but it's, you must be a little hard for the book. It's only 3 pages, and I wonder if you could expand a little on what it was like to, as a young adult, experience, starting out in your life, experience such a paradigm of simplicity, so that we can develop the imagination for that ourselves, since we're trying to do the
The idea Srila Prabhupada gave us a simple living, I think. It really is wonderful because it's the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the context of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was the king. Ambarish Maharaj was a king. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest and was doing severe tapasya. But in the end, he was made king. So here are these the most powerful men materially, the people with the most affluence and opulence materially in the world. But they were perfectly following the principle of simple living, I think. And then we have Narada Muni, who had no home. He was constantly just going from one place to another, just giving love for Krishna everywhere he went. And we have the story of the 6 Goswamis. Raghunath Das Goswami's parents were practically billionaires. And how simple he lived when he went to Vrindavan and Radhakund, when he was in Jagannath Puri. He went from eating the most delicious, sumptuous feasts to eating the decomposed rice that the cows spit out. Rupa and Sanatan. They went from magnificent palaces to sleeping under different trees every night. And Vrindavan, Govardhan, many, many hot summers, many cold winters. And the only clothes they wore was little opens and little wrappers that people would just discard and throw into the street. King Prataparudra was a king. And he wanted to actually live like the Goswamis. But Lord Chaitanya wanted him to stay as a king, as did all the devotees. So what does simple living by thinking really mean? And I remember hearing this from Srila Prabhupada in 1972. He said, Krishna consciousness is not about either living in a palace or living under a tree. It's about how understanding Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, everything belongs to Krishna. And therefore, whatever I have, patram pushpam palam toyam, whether it's a leaf, a flower, a twig, or some water, if that's all I have, simple living, high thinking means I offer it to Krishna. And if by Krishna's grace, that's how I'm living, I'm happy. And if I'm a millionaire or a billionaire, and I have so much affluence and influence over others, if I understand nothing is mine, it all belongs to Krishna, let me offer it to Krishna. That's simple living, high thinking. And we have examples of all of these. When I witnessed Ghanashyam in his little closet temple in Vrindavan village, it was like being exposed. It wasn't poverty he was living that was so beautiful. Because I had been living in India, and I was with sadhus living in caves, and they had less than Ghanashyam. It wasn't just what he didn't have. It was what he did have. He was simply so happy. He had Krishna in his life and Srimati Radharani in his life. And he was so grateful. He just wanted to give everything. And that was all. And he was so humble in that mood that there was not... He was directly making all the offerings to these ancient deities. But he felt unworthy that Krishna will not accept any of it unless he serves and gives Krishna's prasadam and gives Krishna's blessings to even the most insignificant person who he could reach. One of the most beautiful experiences we can strive for in life is to be humbled by another person's humility. In this world, our tendency is we're humbled by a person's grandeur. Yes? I'm not going to go into any details on that, but whether it's politics or whether it's economic situations of life or even in religion and spirituality, often we're humbled by people's power. We're humbled by people's wealth. We're humbled by people who are controllers. But the real joy of life in the path of bhakti is when we are humbled by a person's humility. That means that is the core principle that we really value in human character. And when we speak about humility from a Vaishnava perspective, it means person who deeply feels to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And whether we're on our deathbed or whether we have full, vibrant health, whether we're in apparent poverty or whether we're in tremendous prosperity, Krishna tells whether we're success, failure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, happiness, distress, health, disease, these dualities are always coming and going in this world. If our happiness is based on which side of the duality comes upon us, then our happiness is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Kamala dala jala jivana dala mala. It's very vulnerable. But if we look for our happiness in being humbled by those who are humble, by those who are really taking shelter of the Lord, who are really surrendering to the Lord, then Krishna is pleased. And as we make advancement in Krishna consciousness, our happiness is simply according to how Krishna is pleased. And a beautiful thing, he doesn't have to just be pleased with me. I'm happy if somebody else is pleasing Krishna because Krishna is pleased. If I'm happy that another devotee is pleasing Krishna because Krishna is pleased by that devotee, do you know what happens? Krishna's pleased with me. And if that is our aim of happiness, Krishna will give us that happiness by his mercy. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was just giving Krishna. And he was so grateful for every opportunity to give Krishna. Whether he was the acharya of a worldwide movement, or whether he was sitting in a little cabin on a cargo ship, or living homeless in the Bowery of New York, one time Srila Prabhupada was in his beautiful quarters in Los Angeles, and he told one devotee, "Do you remember my rooms at Radha Damodar Temple?" And at that time, actually the floor of Radha Damodar Temple was just like earth. You know, since Srila Prabhupada departed from the world, they put marble in so many, but in those days, Radha Damodar, those rooms were like little caves. And here Prabhupada is sitting in a beautiful building,
in Los Angeles, California, and Arya's disciples all over the world who are making nice accommodations for him. And he said, do you remember my room? I'm longing to be back there. But for me to go back there and give up this room, that would be sense gratification. Because this is the way I could best serve. So whether we're in a closet or a cave like Adidas, or whether we're flying on jet aeroplanes, you're going to beautiful temples. Whether we're renunciates, really have nothing in this world, or whether we have a husband, a wife, children, a job, a bank account. These are all details. Grihe tako vani tako. Bhaktivinoda. He had 10 children. And he had several homes. And he was actually very much mixing with the aristocracy of academia of Bengal at that time. In fact, he was a government, a very highly respected magistrate in the government. And then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who was the personification of renunciation, would come to touch Bhaktivinoda Thakur's feet, beg for his blessings, and hear him speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur guided his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So what? Who is great? Simple living, high thinking. One who is truly in that spirit of pleasing Krishna in our service. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but thank you. Thank you for I can't speak after your wonderful words anymore. And I think that I'm really over time. Nobody gave me a time, but I'm sure I'm over time, so I actually should stop. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.